Hey everybody, happy Friday. Today's passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We completed 1 Corinthians yesterday, and we're just going straight through to 2 Corinthians. So let me read the passage for us, and I'll share some thoughts. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no, at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. In verses 3 and 4, Apostle Paul refers to God as the God of all comfort. He says, our God comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's hard to say that over and over again. It's a lot of comfort there. This is an amazing truth, and made even more amazing when we remember that this is coming from the Apostle Paul. If we jump down a few verses to verse 8, we read that he and his companions experienced affliction in Asia. He doesn't expound on that more, doesn't elaborate, so we don't know exactly what Paul endured, but whatever it was, it seems that it was a great affliction. In fact, he says in the latter portion of verse 8 that we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Then verse 9 says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. So from that alone, we can see that this affliction wasn't just some kind of minor hardship. They thought they were literally going to die. We don't know exactly the circumstance here, what Paul is referring to, but we do know, actually, from the book of Acts, that Paul did go through quite a lot throughout his ministry. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, and yes, on multiple occasions, on the brink of death. Yet here he is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, referring to God as the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. How in the world does he do that? Someone who's gone through this intense affliction, how does he refer to God as a God of all comfort? Well, for one, he was able to come to know this through experience that God is able to deliver in times of affliction. Paul knew, he came to know, and he knew that God would deliver in times of affliction. As Paul writes in verse 9, but that, referring to the affliction, was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. We don't know how exactly God delivered Paul and his companions in this particular situation, but clearly he did. And Paul saw that not only as him being rescued, but also as an opportunity for him and his companions to learn to rely on God more and come to know more deeply that God is able to deliver. This experience, or I'm sure a culmination of experiences, gave him greater conviction in knowing that they could find comfort in God because he is the one who delivers, the one who saves. But more than that, I believe it was ultimately because Paul knew that our God is the God who raises the dead. God could metaphorically raise the dead in that he could bring Paul out of a situation where he thought he was going to die. And also, Paul knew that God would one day raise the literal dead and that there's eternal life in Jesus. It's a comfort that knows that whatever may happen in this lifetime, God will, in the end, deliver his people. That affliction and death aren't the final say, but God is. Now, you could take what I just said and think that Paul is saying that current hardship or affliction, the difficulties we face in this lifetime, aren't a big deal. But I don't think that's what Paul is getting at, nor do I think this is how God views it. Paul describes God as the God of all comfort, which means he's there to comfort us at all times for all things. The Christian life doesn't mean that we're going to live easy or, you know, comfortable lives where everything just works out. In fact, Jesus says that we will face hardships for our faith. However, whatever hardship or affliction we're going through, whatever frustration, doubt, or fear, God is there to comfort us each step of the way. His comfort may consist of bringing us peace and may also consist of speaking truth and teaching us certain things, but it won't come out of condemnation or judgment, but out of his loving comfort. This is who our God is, and many of you may already know that, but maybe you need that reminder today. Now, what's remarkable about this passage is that this comfort we receive isn't meant to be just for us. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that the promises of Scripture, whether what we read here today or elsewhere, that we might think that it's just for me. It is for you, but not only for you. Rather, as Paul writes, this comfort we've received is so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. As those who've come to know the comfort of our God, it's our duty and responsibility to comfort others with that same comfort from God. What that means is, on a baseline level, we're to share the love of Jesus, point others to the truth and the hope of the gospel, and share in this together. For fellow believers, that could look like listening to and praying for those in need, in addition to providing any physical or tangible things to help. For those who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, it can be similar things while also sharing about the good news of Jesus, the source of our hope and comfort. However it's specifically lived out, let's seek to do that today. If you're feeling burdened or even afflicted, I encourage you, I urge you to come before God with those things. Place your trust, your hope, place these burdens before him. And receive his comfort. Receive his comfort and his peace. And as we pursue this for ourselves, let's also seek to make it a reality for those around us, that we'd want to and be able to share about this comfort with those who are in need of this comfort from our God. To wrap up, let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Lord, we know, and you know very well, that life can be very difficult. We can go through all sorts of afflictions, whether it's different things coming up like sickness or financial difficulties, or whether it might be strife, you know, arguments between people, getting hurt by one another, or people who attack us for one reason or another. We know that life is difficult, but we thank you that in you we can find our true comfort, our true rest, our true peace, and that you, God, we have hope in you, a certainty, because you are the God who saves, the God who delivers, not only out of specific situations and difficult moments or events, but you are the God who saves, and that we have life, new life, eternal life with you. And so, Lord, with both things in mind, I pray that you would help us to live each day in your comfort, in your peace, in the assurance of hope that we have in you. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that we would take this and not only live it in our own lives as if, you know, we just have this treasure, this secret, but Lord, help us to share it, to share it with others, to invite others into this hope. And may the way we live our lives be a means of drawing people into the hope and the comfort that we have in you. And so once again, we thank you, God. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.